and had an opportunity to really go and understand what good lawyering looked like and also what not so great lawyering looked like.
Okay.
And that perspective went a long way to see trials, to see how cases were negotiated, and to really go in that home, my legal writing skills, and gaining that practical perspective that paid dividends.
Welcome back to the Injury Pros podcast. Today we have a special guest, Javier Gonzalez, who's one of our new trial attorneys and new attorneys here at Cortisco and Sale. Welcome, Javier.
Thank you.
You've been here for what, about a month and a half?
Month and a half now.
Okay, how's it going?
Really good. Really good. People are great. Learning ropes, and it's been a really nice transition.
Awesome, awesome. So before we get into what you do here and how you do it and what you like, I just want to ask you a few questions about, you know, growing up, what was your background like? And then eventually, what led you to become a lawyer?
Sure. So I grew up right outside of D.C. In Maryland, Prince George's County. Grew up in a household where we played sports year-round and a bunch of guys. Soccer, football, basketball. That consumed the majority of our evenings and weekends. And then from there, I went on to the University of Maryland, College Park, studied finance there.
Okay.
And it was a great experience there. Thought initially I was going to go into the financial advising realm. I met a professor at the University of Maryland. He happened to be an adjunct. On the day-to-day, he did personal injury cases. He also did some business law and had an opportunity to get a bit more insight into the power of being an attorney. So that really went and perked my interest in terms of becoming an attorney myself.
Okay. Let me stop you there because you put a lot out there. You went to University of Maryland.
Yep.
All right, and you were a finance major.
Correct.
And then you eventually become a lawyer, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I was an accounting major. My dad made me be an accounting major in business. I get to use some of my background in accounting, not as much for cases, but for managing the firm. So far in your career, have you seen any of your finance, what you've learned in finance at college kind of help you, you know, in your career as a lawyer?
Yeah, definitely the analytical side of things. Of course, that happens to be an area where the analysis is going to be of the utmost importance, in a sense carried over to the legal field. When I go and size up a case, I want to go and make sure I'm being strategic as possible and do that in-depth analysis to position it in its best possible light.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, so you met this professor, and he was a lawyer and a professor?
He was a lawyer and professor.
And he did some personal injury, too?
He did some personal injury along with some business law.
Okay, and he, you kind of gelled with him in college, and he kind of inspired you to go to law school or take the LSAT? Or
exactly. So, you know, at that point, I thought financial advising was the angle I was going to pursue. Had that course, you know, he also kind of took on like a mentorship type of role, or mentor type of role. And that went a long way in really opening my eyes to the value and the impact you can have as an attorney. After I learned a bit more, I really wanted to go and find out what steps need to be taken. We had a conversation about the LSAT.
Okay.
And I eventually ended up, you know, studying for it and transitioning to law school.
So did you have any lawyers in your family at that point?
None. So I'm the first attorney in my family.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
So this is like uncharted waters for you and your family when you were applying for law school and taking the LSATs.
Exactly.
Other than having this mentor, which is always great to have a mentor,
mm-hmm.
you were blazing your own path, huh?
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, of course, it came with some challenges, but I ended up lucking up at law school at Rutgers. So the minority student program paid a ton of dividends and helping me get acclimated, get an understanding of what the next steps would be. Of course, extra hours that were spent in the library with friends. That helped go and actually solidify that experience.
Gotcha. So going back to the LSATs, I hated that test. I don't know about you. I remember I was trying to break pencils afterwards. It annoyed me so bad. I don't remember what I scored on it. I think it was okay, but I just couldn't wait to be over. Maybe it was because I was a junior in college at the time and I didn't want to be there taking that test, but what do you remember about the LSAT?
Same situation. It was not the fun times that folks made it out to be. Ended up going and taking a LSAT prep course, and the fun still never came into the equation.
No.
So a lot of hours, and of course, at the time, I understood the importance of scoring well on the test. You know, had some success there and eventually got in, but prepping for it, not the best of times.
Gotcha. So You said you went to Rutgers, mm-hmm. and you were in a minority program. Tell us about that.
Minority student program. So it was great at Rutgers to go before law school actually started, about a couple weeks ahead of time. You would have this acclimation process. Professors, oftentimes MSP alumni, will come in and really go and give you a preview as to how to go and prepare for exams, how to go about the day-to-day, the importance of networking, and those relationships went a long way and navigating that course, especially given I didn't have any attorneys background.
Okay. All right. And so you did 3 years of law school, right? Mm-hmm. And took the bar, right?
Yep.
Which bars did you take?
So I first sat for New York and New Jersey, and have since waived in other states, but sat for the New York bar and Jersey bar.
So how many different bars are you in now? Can you tell us?
So now New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, D.C., and Maryland.
Oh, wow. All right. We'll have to start taking cases or wider.
Yeah.
They're a good addition to the firm. Anyway, so... All right, so you graduate law school,
mm-hmm.
take the bar,
yeah.
or bars, right? That's a lot of bar taking.
It was. Well, so I only had to go and sit for the New Jersey and New York bars.
Okay.
And then was able to go and wave in to the other bars.
Oh, that's cool. All right. Yeah. So I took Pennsylvania and New Jersey, and that was over 3 days because you could share a day back when I went. And I know I never wanted to take it again, so I studied my butt off every waking hour for, 6 weeks, 8 weeks?
Same.
I know I didn't want to do it again. So
same situation. I mean, one, to position yourself for a job after law school, but then two, did not want to go and have to study again. So I was the type to burn the midnight oil, yeah. and every waking minute was actually spent on.
To me, yeah, I just I put the time in, and I know because law school when I went there was like on a curve. So if you scored in the top 70%, you're going to pass anyway. So I figured, if I studied as much as 70% of the people studied, I'm going to do well,
yeah.
right? So I just busted my butt, got it done, passed with flying colors, and that was the end of it. So anyway, this is more about you than me, but tell us, what was your first job like after law school?
After law school, I lucked up and did a clerkship. So I was a situation of really going to pick up some practical skills. The judge that I worked for, Judge Cook in Burlington County.
New Jersey, right?
In New Jersey. Criminal judge. And had an opportunity to really go and understand what good lawyering looked like and also what not so great lawyering looked like.
Okay.
And that perspective went a long way to see trials, to see how cases were negotiated, and to really go and actually hone my legal writing skills and gaining that practical perspective that paid dividends in my career.
So as a clerk, you're doing a lot of different things, right? Now, this is the criminal side, you said, right?
You got it.
So I assume you're reviewing motions that attorneys file.
Exactly.
Doing some research, mm-hmm. advising the judge on what the law is and what, do you make recommendations to the judge on motions?
There would be recommendations. The role largely was to do the research, make a recommendation, and then ultimately the judge would go and make a call. But there are so many moving parts with the judge that he would depend on the law clerks to help be efficient in digesting everything.
Okay. Did you ever have to write opinions or not too much in criminal?
I did.
You did?
I did.
All right. So you got a good writing background, research background. Mm-hmm. How long were you a clerk? For a year?
For a year.
Okay. And then what?
And then Middlesex County Prosecutor's Office.
Okay.
So I knew going into it that I wanted to be a prosecutor. The aim being an opportunity to go and get on your feet immediately or as soon as possible out of law school. There, of course, is a refined training program where you're going to go and have senior leadership that are going to invest in you and help you get acclimated as to what litigation should look like. And that was my experience at the prosecutor's office. So I was there from 2016 until 2021.
Okay. So you started there. And tell us what kind of things you did when you first started and then what you eventually worked into while you were there at the prosecutor's office.
In the beginning, folks typically start either in the juvenile unit or the appellate unit. I had the privilege to go and be in the juvenile unit. And there was privilege, not only because the cases were meaningful, but also because of the mentors that I had. In fact, my immediate supervisor is now going to go and get sworn in a little bit later on today as the prosecutor. And she was great to go and actually show me how to go about being a prosecutor. Similarly, the leadership there in the prosecutor's office was willing to go and make investments in me to help me really go and shore up that legal litigation skill set, and that went a long way.
Okay, so juvenile, that is like kids that are doing things wrong, that get in trouble themselves?
Sure. So you would go and have some missteps along the way. and then try to go and come up with some corrective action to go and get them on the right path.
Okay, so what's the idea there? Is trying to rehabilitate them, like you said, get them on the right path,
correct,
rather than penalize them and ruin their entire record or put them in depression or anxiety for the rest of their life so they turn out on a bad path.
Right? Exactly. I mean, the focus there is on the rehabilitative side of things. You know, nobody wants to go and have those harsh consequences extended into a juvenile. So that would oftentimes be putting them in different programs, mm-hmm, to go and help with the rehabilitation process, coupling them up with mentors. And if there had to be some monitoring, there would be some monitoring as well,
right,
especially with the more complicated instances.
So how many years did you do the juvenile side?
So I was on the juvenile side for approximately 2 years.
Okay. And then what did you do next?
Then transitioned over to the trial team. So that would be a traditional line prosecutor. There had an opportunity to go and be in court pretty much every day and work on cases where the defendants were adults.
Okay. And what kind of cases, just for our listeners, what kind of cases were you handling on a regular basis as a prosecutor?
So they range from violent offenses such as your aggravated assaults, drug distribution cases, attempted homicide cases, the full spectrum.
Okay. And did you work as a team there? Did you have a mentor, or were you kind of on your own unless you needed help?
It was definitely a team dynamic where we would go and have more junior assistant prosecutors that would then have direct reporting responsibilities to a more senior prosecutor.
Okay. And I'm assuming over the rest of the years there at the prosecutor's office, you had some good trial experience.
I did. So it was a great opportunity because, of course, as you know, trial experience is tough for a young attorney to secure.
Yep.
And that was one of the main reasons why I went to the prosecutor's office, developing that comfort, developing my style, and just refining that skill set. So the prosecutor's office was great in that sense.
So, you made a good point. Even especially in our business, in the civil side,
mm-hmm,
there's less and less trials for multiple reasons. If most of our good cases get good offers, you know, and it's more beneficial for our clients to resolve the case. But the cases that go to trial are usually the crappy cases that have bad facts, sure, bad clients, yeah, bad treatment, minimal injuries, minimal impact on crashes, those kind of things. Unfortunately, sometimes we get the only cases we get to try are the bad cases. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying they're bad cases, they just have problems with the cases. So as we you know, move forward as a firm, you know, it's less and less cases, unfortunately. I think that's just part of the way the legal world, especially the civil world with mediations and arbitrations, and it all depends on what county you're in and what venue you're in,
sure,
what make that tactical decision or that recommendation from us to our clients. All right, so why did you decide to leave the prosecutor's office?
An opportunity presented itself at a firm in Philadelphia. A good friend of mine was working at the firm at the time, had some great things to say about it, so I transitioned into the litigation unit.
Okay, and what kind of law was that?
So a lot of the stuff that I was working on was healthcare litigation, oftentimes disputes about payments from the insurance company to medical providers.
Okay. And at that point, did you start to learn some of the medical terminology?
I did, and it was also unique in the sense where I had an opportunity to do a lot of administrative hearings. So on the civil side, as you touched on earlier, it's tougher to go and get into court.
Yeah.
And an opportunity to go and do it on the administrative hearing side, it was nice to go and be back in the ring.
Good. So, and then you were there for how long, that firm?
2 years.
2 years. And then you were somewhere else before you came here, though, right?
I was. So I was at a personal injury firm working on cases in Philadelphia.
Okay. And what type of cases?
So a lot of motor vehicle accidents, slip and falls, trip and falls, those type of cases.
On the plaintiff side?
On the plaintiff side.
Okay.
I also worked on a couple of dog bite cases as well.
Gotcha. So how long were you there for?
A little over a year.
Okay. So you learned the process, mm-hmm, of the civil side. You learned the steps of the personal injury case.
Got it.
And I'm assuming you applied your experience from everything you had, especially at the prosecutor's office, to manage those cases. Because essentially from this plaintiff side, you are prosecuting a case. We are prosecuting our clients' cases, you know, just similar to a prosecutor. We have the duty and the burden of proof in our cases. So we have to come forward and we have to run the case. You see that similarity as you've crossed into the civil side?
Exactly. I mean, yes, you described it perfectly. A lot of those skills that I developed in the prosecutor's office have carried over and paid dividends.
Okay. What kind of skills specifically do you have in mind?
Well, largely just the need for an intense investigation to secure the necessary evidence to put the case in the best light. In addition to that, the customer service or client rapport development. That's something that's critical when I was in the prosecutor's office, when I had crime victims, uncertain how to go and navigate life. You know, and their life got turned upside down because they were violated criminally. So taking the time to go and invest in those relationships go a long way to achieve the end of, one, securing the necessary evidence, two, getting the cooperation that I need from clients, and then three, going and applying my legal skills to put the case in a strong light.
Gotcha. So as opposed to a, say, a civil defense attorney where you're representing an insurance company, you're working as a prosecutor. You're working with people, right?
Great.
You're working with victims, for the most part, victims. You're working with investigators. You are working up themes of your case, right?
Great.
As a criminal prosecutor, you still have to have a theme for your prosecution, right? You have to work up how all those pieces of the puzzle work together because, like I said, you have the burden of proof. You have to prove. In your case, you have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. In our case, it's more likely than not, right? Or what they call preponderance of the evidence. So, you know, it's, I see it very similar. You have to interview witnesses. You have to put witnesses on the stand and what's called direct examination where you're asking them questions, right?
Exactly.
And it's a skill set that you can easily transfer, I believe, from being a prosecutor to a civil attorney and then a plaintiff's injury, you know, plaintiff's personal injury lawyer like us. What else do you feel skill-wise that you're able to transfer from the criminal side to the plaintiff side?
I would think the collaboration. So I recognize the team that you have around you is going to be huge from the administrative side, the investigative side, and then also the different resources to go and help with the rehabilitative process. So understanding my team, investing in that team, and leaning on them when necessary has definitely gone a long way.
Okay, great, great. And then you transitioned to your De Cordes Gold and Sale, all right? What attracted you to our firm when you were looking at firms and who to go with or who to work with going in the future?
Culture. Happened to be one of the driving aspects of it. The culture here with a premium placed on customer service. That was something that I viewed as an opportunity to go and put cases and its best of light by understanding fully what all this client had actually gone through. And I had an opportunity to go and peek behind the curtain with my colleague now and my former colleague at the prosecutor's office, Steve DeBonis. So understanding what the ins and outs of this firm look like, the culture and the emphasis on customer service was really the driving consideration.
So just for our listeners, Steve is an attorney here. He's been with us for about 5 years, and you used to work with Steve at the prosecutor's office.
That's right.
So you knew Steve from the prosecutor's office, and that kind of introduced you to our firm. And as we're growing, we were hiring attorneys, and Steve's been telling me about you for a few years. We weren't always ready to hire somebody yet, but when we were, you certainly applied, and you know, we got to know each other, and so far so good, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Having a good time?
Great time.
And you're being assigned cases right away now,
right?
You're managing cases from the beginning?
That's it.
And, you know, what you've worked at a few firms now and at the prosecutor's office. Is there anything about Cordes Gold & Sale that's different or that you find helpful for the clients compared to many of the other experiences you had?
In addition to the customer service piece that we touched on, I think how forward-thinking the firm is something that separates this firm from others. The investment in technology, how communicative the firm is and keeping the clients abreast, I think that happens to be some of the distinguishing elements.
Oh, good. Okay. That's one of the things we do. Obviously, we love technology here. We're always trying to make things better for the client, more efficient. We're trying to move our cases faster because faster justice is better for everybody.
Great.
Right? And now we have a pre-lit department and a lit department. And, you know, our theory is move our cases as quickly through pre-lit as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Give the insurance companies a chance to resolve the case for policy limits, or if there's a super large policy limit, something that's really fair. And if they're not, we have a lit team that's hungry and ready to go. So you're becoming an integral part of this team. Yeah. So now, you know, you're going to be part of the Injury Pros podcast. You're becoming an injury pro. You know, what do you see in the future? You know, what are your future plans here at Cordes Gold & Sale? What do you want to do? What is your 5-year plan? How do you see what you can bring to us and advance Cordes Gold & Sale to the next level?
Yeah, it really comes down to building on the skill set that I've already developed, continue to go and deliver quality service for our clients, continue to go and enhance the brand of the firm, and being a valuable asset.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is that, you've been doing personal injury law for a few years now.
Mm-hmm.
Between John and myself and even Steven, we'll try to mentor you and bring you up to what we feel our levels are of tenacity, of running a case, of litigating a case, and eventually trying a case. So we're hoping to bring you up. We're hoping you're a good student in that regard and that you take on our traits and our core values as best as we can. And then you're become an integral part of our team, become an injury pro like us, and have guests on the podcast yourself.
Awesome.
And hopefully that this is your forever home, and we continue to foster this relationship and serve our clients. And part of our mission statement is to serve as many clients as we can, but we can't serve every client. And we are somewhat picky in the clients that we do take because we want to be able to give the clients we have our best service. So that's why we're growing fast, but we're also hiring a lot of good attorneys. And Javier is one of them. And we definitely want to continue that path forward.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for coming. Welcome. And we'll see you soon.
Thanks a lot, Mike.